Good morning, this is the oral Thai session. My name is Saraneshi and I am the examiner. Examiner number two is Mrs. Cynthia Fuppiano. Can you please tell me your name?
My name is Alice Broy.
Okay, and your name?
My name is Ayana Fabris.
Okay, welcome ladies to the oral Thai session.
Thank you.
Okay, Alice, would you like to tell me a bit about yourself?
Okay, of course.
Thank
so,
you.
I'm from Modena. I'm not from Tuscany. Actually, uh-huh. I moved here 3 years ago, and now I'm working for as an English teacher. Okay, mm-hmm. And I studied foreign languages at university, so the University of Bologna for 3 years. Then I moved to Switzerland and I did a master in Oriental Studies in mm-hmm. French and English mm-hmm. in Geneva. Then I came here to Tuscany. I live in San Gimignano right now, so I had an internship with an art gallery 4 years ago, so that's why I'm here in Tuscany now. And then I moved to China in 2014
wow.
for that gallery, yes.
Uh-huh.
Because I've studied Chinese and everything that deals with China, so I wanted to keep in touch with the Chinese.
Did you study Chinese at university?
Yes, exactly. And everything else that deals with China. So Chinese cinema, Chinese philosophy, Chinese history, and Chinese art, and also Chinese language.
Uh-huh.
So I came across this gallery where they have Chinese artists. So they had an exhibition of Ai Weiwei, which is one of my topics for the investigation logbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the internship there for 3 months. Then I moved to the gallery they have in China,
mm-hmm.
in Beijing. And I lived there for 6 months.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Very interesting. Thank you.
I'm a dancer also.
You're a dancer too?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do a lot of things.
Cool.
Well done. Okay. And then, Ayana, can you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, okay. I live in Florence. Mm-hmm. My family is from the north of the country, but I grew up in Tuscany for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
We would spend time in India a lot with my family when we were growing up because of my parents' job.
Mm-hmm.
I studied social science at the University of Utrecht in the Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
and I did a master in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I came back to Florence, and it's been 4 years I've been here. I've done some traveling in between, but sort of like stable in Florence.
Do you like it here?
Yeah, I think Florence is a great, it's beautiful, of course, everyone says that. It's really, the arts and the architecture is just, it uplifts your spirit when you walk around.
Uh-huh.
And it has a little bit of an international community as well. It's not that big, but it's there, so it's a little different from other cities in Italy, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit small, like sometimes I miss the opportunities you have in other places, but it's a good compromise. You can have a good quality of life, and so that's good.
Okay, good. Thank you, ladies. I can see you have brought a logbook, right, Alicia?
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is your investigation project about?
It's about Ai Weiwei, who is a Chinese artist and dissident.
Okay, can I see?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
And he is a very controversial figure in China and also all around the world because he's mainly an artist,
mm-hmm.
but he's wrote so many critics about the government, about the Chinese government,
mm-hmm.
that he became a dissident, a political dissident. Yes.
So, look at these pictures.
Yeah. He took pictures of his middle finger in front of every important monument around the world, let's say the White House, let's say the Eiffel Tower, and also the Forbidden City in China, where there is Mao Zedong's image.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, he is a very big dissident.
Challenging.
Yes, exactly. So, he likes to challenge the government, and this is why he was brought in by the police, the Chinese police, and actually was arrested in the airport of Beijing. And they were just saying, okay, we arrest you because you haven't finished your departure procedures.
Okay.
But actually, the real problem was another one. So he has been brought in because he went against the government, and he's been accused of pornography also. Yes.
And but was it?
It's still a very controversial matter because we don't know. We know that he's against the government. So for sure, the government tries to stop him, to be an obstacle to him and to his work, because every time he makes a work of art, there's something political behind it.
Uh-huh.
It's always a political message, almost always.
Okay, okay. Ayana, have you got any questions for Alice about her
How
topic?
Did you learn about him, or how did you get this interest in his work?
Well, I met him, and I first met his works when I was working for that gallery in San Gimignano. So I had the chance to get in touch with him, with his assistants, and with his artworks. So it was really fascinating for me at the time, because he built a very big installation made of 70, I don't know how many, layers of bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
So you could really climb on them.
Wow.
And he took a picture of his brain. It's not a picture of his brain, of course. It's a medical report of his brain. And so, yes, I was very fascinated by him. And also I wrote my thesis for my master degree. And yes, then when I moved to Beijing, I also met him in his studio.
Oh.
So I found out that he was a very nice person. And he considers himself a little bit like a VIP. So he gave me a little, a piece of one of his artworks. So he made 1 million sunflower seeds. So as a gift, he gave me 3 of them. They are made of ceramics and hand painted. So it's always a very ambiguous figure, because he is a nice man. He knows what he's doing. He thinks that it's good what he's doing to critique the government, because it's not possible to bear this. This heavy weight of the government in China that doesn't allow you to speak out, to say what you really think. So I admire him for that. But at the same time, you know, he considers himself a little bit like a VIP, so he's taking advantage of these figures that he created around himself.
Okay, well done. And what's your idea about the whole stuff, the whole thing?
I really admire his works. I mean, I love his artworks. He works with marble, with ceramics, with paint, with anything. So he can really do anything. And it's very nice to see also, because it's very minimal, it's not heavy. So I like contemporary art, and he's my favorite artist. But yes, as a person, I think he really took advantage of this, of his situation, of the fact that he's been imprisoned for 3 months and nobody knew where he was, so now he's fighting and using this against the Chinese government and the Chinese law.
Okay, good. That's a very interesting story. Thank you, Alice. Ayana, what's your investigation project about?
So I did an investigation about the Motown sound.
Have you got a logbook?
Yes, it's here.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Can I have a look?
Yes.
Go on, sorry.
I love it. It's always been, I love the Supremes, I love Marvin Gaye, I love a lot of those artists, but I never quite, actually, I didn't know much about the history of the movement or how the sound came about. And so doing the investigation gave me the chance of actually finding out about Burry Gurdy, who is the founder of the label, which was called, which kind of identifies the sound. It's one of those cases that this specific style also corresponds to its label, like we were just saying earlier. And basically, I found out that, I don't remember exactly his background, but he went to fight in the Korean War, and then he came back to Detroit, and it's the late 50s, and he opened a music store and was kind of doing some songwriting for artists and got very little money from the royalty of a successful group that he helped produce. And then he said, well, kind of, I need to do my own thing so that I can make more money out of my own job. And so he got a loan and he started the business and he started the label. And then 10 years later, you had all these amazing artists coming out of his vision and his work. And he was a black man, and it was still kind of hard for entrepreneurs to come out and really change culture in that sense. He was featuring black artists, and a lot of what up until that time had been sort of used by white artists to become famous on the skills and the talent and the creativity of black artists who wouldn't be featured, and suddenly became featured by the black artists themselves. So it was both the amazing sound, but also kind of the societal value of the label that makes it such an interesting topic.
Okay, Alice, have you got any questions for Ariana?
Why do you like this kind of music? Because I like it too. So.
Oh, good. That's good to know. So you can share ideas.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's I find it's upbeat and at the same time kind of melancholic, and it's always it's mostly always about love, but in a very fun way. It's very romantic, but it's not too sentimental, especially if you compare it to Italian music, which is kind of like, ah.
Okay.
Too sweet.
Okay. Okay, we won't buy you a CD of Italian music, no problem. Okay.
Well, not all of it, but...
No, fine. We got the message, no problem.
And also...
It makes you dream a lot.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It really does. It's something you can dance to, but also kind of dream about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you know anything about it, Alice? Because you said
so specific. So, yeah, I know Marvin Gaye a little, and I love jazz music and blues music because I dance to hip-hop music. So this is where it comes from.
Okay.
So that's why I like that side of the music.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ariana. Thank you, Alice. It's always great because you come to learn a lot of new things, actually. And Alice, would you like to tell me a bit about your news story?
Yes,
please.
Of course. This news story is taken from the BBC.com.
So again, the magic word of China.
Yes,
what else?
Yes, everything is connected, actually. I read the 1984 by George Orwell. I did the investigation logbook about Ai Weiwei, and this one is about censorship in China. And
okay.
So censorship is everywhere in these three things that I studied. So this is about Yu Xiaolei, who is an editor, was actually an editor in China for an important newspaper. And he decided to resign and to leave that newspaper, which is the Southern Metropolis Daily, because he couldn't bear the name of the party anymore. So this is actually the reason he wrote on that image in Chinese. And he said, reason for resigning, I cannot bear, unable to bear the surname of the party. So after so many years that he worked for the party and he edited so many articles for the party in order to be acceptable for the party, because they cannot say what they want, they have to say what the party wants to say. So he has to edit every single article. So he was just, he had enough of it. So he quit the job, and his post, because he posted the photo online, was censored and banned completely. And yeah, so this is why it caught my attention, because either here or there in the news story, everything is censored, everything is banned, because there's this rule in China for which they cannot say what they want.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay. Ayana, have you got any questions for Alice? Do you know anything about this?
I didn't know so much about the situation in China, no. It's really interesting to hear about it. I was wondering if you know of anything happening within China or outside of China that is kind of demonstrating against this, or that there are people trying to change the system?
Not really, because in China you cannot even use Google, Facebook, or YouTube. So if you want to use them, you have to use a VPN. So it's a sort of technologic device that you use and you buy to go on these websites. So you can, but...
Is this what you did when you were in China as well?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
But once I was in a hotel and I asked to the man at the reception, I cannot use internet. See? Can you see that? It doesn't work. And I put Facebook, but because I'm used to open Facebook, uh-huh. and said, no, Facebook is not working here. And I was...
Was he scared? Worried?
Exactly, but I meant... Internet is not working, not Facebook. I'm opening Facebook because I can use it here.
Okay.
So they are not really changing it, and they are a little scared of it because they know that the government sees them and watches over them. And yeah, they banned this website because in 2008 they discovered that on Facebook they were trying to gather people to go against the government in the Xinjiang province. So. Mm-hmm. The government was so scared about it that they really shut it down.
Mm. How's the situation now?
With Facebook, with social networks?
And the news story you...
Oh, they still censor everything. They still ban and black out whatever they want. So also Ai Weiwei had a blog. He used to write everything it came to his mind, but actually the government shut it down completely. Not only erased some parts of what he wrote, he shut it down completely. So
okay.
It's the same now. It doesn't change.
And do you think it will change?
No. No. It won't.
Okay, good. Thank you, Alice. Ayana, what's your book about?
Yes, my book...
What's the title? Yes, please. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us about it? Nice title.
It's a book by... a famous comedian in the U.S., Amy Poehler. She played at Saturday Night Live, and she's produced a couple of shows by now, Parks and Recreation. The book itself, I should say, like from a literary point of view, is nothing special.
Uh-huh. So why did you choose it?
I think she's hilarious, and she's got... I think she writes well. She's good at writing, and it's interesting. The comment about the book has been what I said, and it's been criticized because it doesn't really have a structure. It's supposed to be a memoir, but she's only 43, and it doesn't really have a storyline. She doesn't reveal that much about herself either because she doesn't want to let people in her own business. But... she does have a little bit of a improvisational structure, just as she does as an actor. She puts that in the book, and I appreciate that because I think it keeps your attention span going. It doesn't get boring, and she also gives really good advice in a very direct, funny way.
About?
About all sorts of things. She said a few things that I liked about women. She says a good motto should be when you hear something about your female friend or your girlfriends and you think that's good, you can say, oh, good for her, not for me. Because women tend to compare and kind of be critical about one another. She's got this underlining feminist narrative, and not only in her book, but about her work in general. Another one, she talks about the power of apologizing when you've done something wrong, and how shame kind of grows. But if you just apologize things, it has a very strong healing power for everyone. So it's very light and funny, but it also has some more serious and deep topics within it. Another, I'm trying to think of some other...
Have you read other books about her?
This is the only book that she wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, she's mostly known for her work in television or as an improv actor.
Okay.
She talks about that as well, how she pursued this very unstable job, which is very hard to, first of all, be able to do, but also become successful, and she became successful. But she has a very good, I think, attitude to career and success as well. She says you should treat your career like a bad boyfriend, which is, yeah. I mean,
which means?
Just...
Sorry, but...
Just know that it's not going to be the one that comes and takes care of you when you're sick or when you're... You know, you can't
That's interesting. Good point.
Career, but it's not going to be the one that takes care of you in the long term.
Oh, okay. That was really interesting. Okay. And have you read this book or?
No, never. Never heard of her, actually.
Okay. What's your idea about her? Have you got any questions
she
for
Yana? She's hilarious, really. And I love watching comedians too on television. So I usually watch James Corden's Late Late Show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about him.
Yeah.
What do you think about him?
Oh, I like him too.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he is very funny.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I really would like to talk with you for longer, but we have to move on to the next step of our conversation. Okay. I would like you to yes. Okay. To look at these pictures and tell me what you see.
One by one.
Yeah. What can you see? What type of pictures are they? Can you describe them?
There's a woman walking her dog.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in general, it's everyday life moments.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, she's walking the dog. They are planting some plants, fruits, vegetables, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing soccer.
Doing some exercise, working out at the gym.
Okay.
Washing the car.
Yeah. Okay. I would like you to think about and discuss which activity, in your opinion, would be the best one to keep fit. Have fun.
I would say jogging, running, yes. Mm,
why
yes.
do you say that?
They say it's the best activity to keep fit, actually, because when you run, you do your cardio, so you improve your breath, you improve your muscles in your legs, and yeah, apparently it's the best thing. I wouldn't say this one on the treadmill, because it's not in nature, so there's something missing. You're still running, but there's something missing, which is the landscape, the environment, maybe the good air.
Well, I just think that I kind of tend to agree with the running one. But at the same time, you don't really train your arms, you don't train, you don't do any work on your abdominals or your tummy, or it's very, you work on your legs and yes, the cardio, but I don't know if that is actually the best way to exercise. I kind of think that working out in the garden is great exercise, actually. It's really
a good activity.
Yeah.
I think it's tiring. Yes, it should be tiring.
I mean, you use different parts of your body and you're doing something useful.
Yes, for sure.
At the same time.
Okay, good. Thank you, ladies. It was really nice to talk with you and to learn new things. Okay, it's 1:35 and it is the end of the oral exam.